Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I want to greet any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. Just welcome. I'm glad you're here. To those watching via the live stream, I welcome you in the name of Jesus as well. So I'd like to, for us just to take a minute and close our eyes and unpack from the week we just came through or the week that is ahead of us. So will you just join me in closing your eyes and just hand your burdens over to God. Just give Him the things that were causing you stress. Just turn them over to God and release it to Him to take care of and handle. Heavenly Father, we just turn our burdens over to You, knowing that You are bigger and able to handle anything. We trust You. Free us this morning so that we can come and worship You. Fill us with Your presence. Let Your Holy Spirit flow like a river flooding this place. Father, and You know every situation that is happening in the Ukraine. There is nothing beyond Your control. We see You working in amazing ways while war is raging on. You are present. Just pray that You bring peace and stop the bloodshed. Let the world see that You are in control. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I don't know if you feel like you have a reason to sing this morning or not, but Dwight has highlighted a couple words in each of the verses in this first song we're singing. The first one is triumphs of His grace, and it is His grace. It is not our energy. It is His grace that we are praising this morning. And He's a gracious master, and His name brings peace, and it's for me and you. And the glory all goes to God. For a thousand tongues to sing. During this next song, we'll ask for the ushers to lift the offering, and the children may come with their coins for My Coins Count.
When of sorrows, Lamb of God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each person here this morning. We thank you for the blessing that we can gather together as a church community and worship you and learn more about you, Lord. We pray a blessing over this offering, Lord, that it is as it is used to maintain this building, that it would be a place that would be a light on a shining hill, Lord, that people would find hope and rest here, Lord, in you, that it would be a place that we could worship you, that we could learn more about you, and that we could come closer together as a family of believers, Lord. We thank you for the people that take care of this building, Lord, and give of their time to maintain it and make sure that it is in good working order. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Would you stand with us for the rest of the songs?
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led
The Bible tells us that the whole earth is full of God's glory, and he will reign forever. These statements are true, and they're worth repeating, and we will do that in this next song, 8 times to be exact. But instead of counting or deciding that it's redundant and unnecessary, let's try to let each repetition be a chance to consider different areas in the world, in our lives, in our homes, in our days, where we need to remember that no matter what it looks like, he is reigning and his glory is there.
Come let us adore him. Behold.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound.
Father, thank you for giving us reason to rejoice this morning. And I just pray all the words you have for Andy would come through today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. It's time for our children's message. So good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Well, it's good to see each one of you here today. What did you do?
I picked up the park.
Oh, someone fell on you? Yeah. Does it feel all right?
Hurts
a little bit? Well, I'll pray for you then later. So, what is this?
A dollar bill.
Yes. You know what I had to do to get this dollar bill? I had to go to work. I had to clock in, and I had to put my boots on, and then go stomp around in the mud and make lots of noise and dust and dirt just to earn a dollar, right? No? Hopefully more than that. So listen to what the Bible says. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul is telling us that the gift of Jesus and asking him into our hearts is free. So what does it mean to have, if something's free? It's not all caged up or something. Yes, it's free. Like animals would be free to roam around and wear whatever they want to do. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. Yeah, you don't have to earn it. So if I wanted to give this money away and offered it as a free gift to anybody who wanted it, and they would come up and take it, it would be theirs. And they didn't have to work for it. They would just have to receive it. So if I would give this money away to someone who would come up and take it, they wouldn't have to work for it. They would just have to come and receive it. There you go. There you go. See? So, what did you have to work for that? Did you have to do anything for it? Yes. What did you have to do? You had to stand up and receive it, right? Well, this is the same when we ask Jesus into our hearts. We have to receive. We have to receive Jesus into our hearts. It is a free gift, but we have to claim it. So does anybody, including adults here this morning, want to receive Jesus into their heart? If you do, just raise your hand. You do. Praise God. I'll let you talk to your parent or grandparent, whoever's here with you this morning, and they can talk to you. You can talk to them, and they will take care of it. Because I think it's a joyous thing when parents talk to their children about receiving Jesus into their hearts. So I want to pray for you guys, okay? So will you close your eyes? And I forget your name again. Jasmine. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, bring healing to Jasmine's hand, help her to feel better, and just help her to feel your peace and comfort on her. Father, just bless these children, and I pray that each one of them will come to know you, Jesus, as their Savior. Just pour a blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a snack right there, and I have a free gift for each one of you. So you can get a snack and then come get your free gift. But I want you to remember that you should see the guys up in the sound booth. It's kind of funny right now. There you go. This is a free gift. Just like Jesus, his gift of salvation is free. Here you go. Here you go. You just have to receive it into your hearts. There you go. I felt bad not giving something to all the children. So that's why we use dollars instead of a higher dollar amount. It took them a little bit to figure out what I was saying, didn't it? The guys in the back were catching on, and Jericho almost started running up the aisle to get a dollar. But isn't that how it goes? We miss it. We struggle to go and to receive. Well, this morning we are going to continue our Lenten series. Our message is titled, From Earning to Receiving. We, as Lancaster Countyans, we work hard, which is good. It is biblical. It tells us in God's Word that we're supposed to work hard for the Lord. Yet there can be some bad sides to hard work. You can be a workaholic. You can have this pride that rises up in you. Look how hard I work. Look at all that I have accomplished. And this is not the good type of pride where you're proud of your work, where you want to do your best for your employer or because you're working for the Lord. Sometimes those words of pride get confused a little bit. There's good and bad. This pride, it looks at how hard I do something, how much money I have. It's a status symbol. Obadiah 1:3, this is probably the first time I've ever used the scripture from this book. The pride of your hearts has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? See, this becomes our thinking. When pride takes root in our hearts, look at what I have done. So how many times has this thinking pushed its way into our thinking? And you see this all over the world. It gets pushed into religion. There's religions all over the world that you have to earn your salvation. You have to earn what you need to, you have to earn it. There's nothing more than that. You have to earn it. You can't just go and receive it. But we have relationship. We don't have religion. We have a relationship with God. And we're so thankful for that relationship. That is why we do what God asks us to do. That is why we come and we serve and we worship Him. It's because we love Him, not because we have to earn it. Isaiah 55:1-7. And if you see me moving around all kind of strange with my head, I'm getting old. I had to get bifocals, and I'm still adjusting to them. So if I look like I'm doing this, it's just my eyes trying to adjust what I'm doing. Isaiah 55:1-7. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you without silver, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I will make a permanent covenant with you on the basis of the faithful kindness of David. Since I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples, so you will summon a nation you do not know, and nations you do not know will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will freely give. Isaiah is giving us the message that everyone is to come to God. He uses the imagery of buying water and food without paying for it with money. The food and water are free. It doesn't cost silver. It doesn't cost hard work. And it's the best. It's the choicest of foods, the clearest, cleanest of water. See, what God gives us is the best, and it is beyond what we can even imagine. So are you hungry? Are you thirsty in your heart and your soul? Maybe you're in the place where you are feeling that there just has to be more than this. Well, there is more, so much more. But what can satisfy the emptiness, the loneliness? It can't be filled with the world. Only God can fill that emptiness, that loneliness, and that is through Jesus. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Jesus told them, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. Jesus is the only way to be filled in our hearts and our souls. When we believe in Jesus, we will be nourished. Faith in Jesus is our salvation. Being forgiven for our sins that each one of us has committed, there is no man who is free of sin today. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There was no one free of sin in history except for Jesus, God's Son. He was the only one as a man who did not sin. You look at the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the lamb. It was used to cover the sin of someone. That blood was used to cover the sin that you had made. It paid that debt that was owed. That sacrifice had to happen regularly. It was a temporary fix for the sin that we faced and that we dealt with, each day. This salvation that God has given to us through the death of Jesus, He's the perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus' death was the cost. It was the payment that it took to atone or wash away our sins from all the transgressions that we made against God. The blood of Jesus washed away sin once and for all. God didn't put a scale on sin. Oh, you did this, so you have to do this and that to earn forgiveness. Oh, that sin was really bad. You're going to have to do all these things to make up for that one sin you did. You just have to repent, turn around, say, God, I am sorry for my sin, and turn away from it, and it will be forgiven. And then God goes one step farther, and He puts a really good price tag on it. Free. Who doesn't love free, right? So, how many of you have stopped by a free pile of stuff along the road? Raise your hand. Yeah. Come on. There's more hands than that. Everybody's laughing, but they don't want to put their hand up. Yeah. One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? But here's the thing. God didn't give us trash. He gave us His best, the purest, the perfect gift that was ever given. That gift of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus so that we could have eternal life with Him. It is free. Yet sometimes I look at the Old Testament and it seems like they really had to earn their salvation. And if they had to earn it, doesn't that mean that we have to earn it because God doesn't change? God is the same from beginning to end? Well, let's look at Genesis 12, 1 to 4. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went out, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram left the safety of his relatives. He left his own land to go where God was leading him. Sure feels like he had to earn it, right? Seems that way, but he didn't. It was because he believed what God was telling him that he took the action of going. He believed that God was going to watch over him and care for him and bless him. So he left. It was through faith. Then it was action. And the action didn't earn it. It was the faith that came first. If you read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, which can get tiresome reading, but it's important to look at those things that what people had to do to be made right before God. The sacrifices, the proper food, the rules they had to follow. That was a lot of work that they had to do. It really looks like they had to earn their salvation. But that's not the case. The people wanted to be close to God. They wanted to do those things. And it was their faith that led them to follow the rules that God laid out before them. It was by faith that they had salvation. Jesus gives us an example of what following the law and not having faith looks like. Matthew 23, 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of the bones of the dead and every kind of impurity. In the same way, on the outside you seem righteous to people, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. The scribes and the Pharisees followed the law. They looked good on the outside, but did following the law earn them salvation? No. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They looked saved on the outside, yet they were dead on the inside. Their faith was in the law. It wasn't in God. They didn't have that faith first, then following the law. They just believed the law would save them, but they missed out on that faith. Faith is what saves you, and you cannot earn that. And you cannot fake it. God, throughout His Word, does not change. He stays the same. When God came to this earth in human form as Jesus, He was showing us that we need to have faith in Him to be saved, and that it could not be earned. John 3, 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world, in this way He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world that He might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." John writes that we can have eternal life with Jesus, and God sent His Son Jesus to save this world. If you could earn your salvation, then it was pointless for Jesus to go to the cross. It was pointless for Him to sacrifice His life for all humanity, because if you could earn it, you didn't need that. Jesus didn't need to take the sin of each and every one of us upon Himself. He didn't need to be beaten. He didn't need to be punched and flogged and spit on and nailed to the cross and hang there until He gave up His spirit to the Father and died. It did need to happen. It had to, because we cannot earn salvation. God in human form was without sin, and He took it upon Himself. He loves us that much. It's hard to understand that kind of love. In our humanness, it's hard to understand that kind of love. It had to happen because we were never good enough. We can't pay enough. No good deed will wipe away a single spot of sin in us. And you can't earn salvation. Titus 3, 4, and 5. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's by God's mercy that we're saved, not by works, even if they are righteous works. John 14, 5 and 6. This is Jesus and His disciples having a conversation. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is making it pretty clear that the only way to be with God in heaven is through faith in Jesus, in Himself. If we're only saved through faith in Jesus, why is God giving this away free? It makes no sense. God's taking all the cost upon Himself. It's because of the love that He has for each and every one of you. Self-included. Like in the children's message, the thing that we need to do is stand up and claim it. We claim it by receiving Jesus into our heart as our Savior. In the verses I read earlier, faith came first, then the action of receiving. The problem is we become self-sufficient. I don't need help. I can do it myself. Sorry, you can't. You can't do it yourself. You can't earn your way to heaven. Romans 12, 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We're supposed to give, right? And it's so much easier to give than it is to receive. But if you have someone who gives, you have to have someone who receives, right? So how many of you have trouble receiving? It can be hard. It can be difficult to receive. You want to bless other people. I used to struggle with receiving. Over the years, God has taught me and shown me what it means to receive. Sometimes it takes real humility to receive. The feelings of, I don't need help, I can do it on my own, they rise up. And that needs to be pushed aside. You have to get rid of those feelings. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Sitting across from the temple treasury, this is Jesus sitting there. He watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they gave out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So if this widow came to you and wanted to give you those two coins, would you take them? Would you receive those two coins from her? This mindset of, I'm blessed with much, I don't need those coins, that definitely pops in my mind first. No, you keep them. You would encourage her to keep those coins. It'd be very difficult to receive those two coins. One thing I have come to learn is that when someone offers you something, you take it. Now, you don't always have to have the cake or the pie or something like that. If you can just take a little piece or take it home and have a little bit later. You don't have to have it right then and there. So I try to take what someone offers me, because I don't want to stand in the way of them receiving a blessing from God for their generosity. So this is what I would do. I would receive those coins. Then I would go and I would fall on my knees, humbled, and ask God to bless that widow physically here on earth and with treasures in heaven. Because there's different ways we receive blessings. Because if I didn't receive those coins, imagine the blessing that she would miss out on. Do you think about it that way? If you don't receive something from somebody, you're causing them to miss out on a blessing. And it might be physically here on earth, how God blesses them, or it might be treasures in heaven. So if we can't receive small things, and it's hard to do, how are we going to fully receive the blessing of salvation that is priceless in value that Jesus has for us? How are we going to do that? We have to push down those feelings of pride that rise up and just receive. The gift of Jesus is free. We just have to receive it. Like the children, they got it. They finally came up and received. So how do we receive salvation? Well, good places to start is Romans 10:9-11. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. Confess it with your mouth, the belief that you have in your heart. Even though you might not understand everything, confess it with your mouth, the belief that you have in your heart. This goes for new Christians, people coming to faith, or people who have been coming to church all their life. We have to daily confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. When Abram left his homeland, it took faith and then action. Mark 11:22-24. Jesus replied to them, and he's talking to his disciples, have faith in God. I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, all the things you pray for and ask for, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. Now, that doesn't mean anything you ask God for, he will give you. It's according to his will. But there's a faith element there, of receiving. You have to believe that God is going to take care of you and give you what you need, and then you have to receive it. So in closing, we need to take the mindset of earning salvation and throw it away. Because it's going to creep in very slowly, and it's so hard to get rid of those roots when it does. Matthew 7:22-23. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Jesus is saying that not all people who thought their salvation was secure is secure. If your faith is in your works and not in the life-giving blood of Jesus poured out on the cross for everybody, then that day when we face judgment, you're going to hear something you don't want to hear. Instead of life spent eternally praising God, you will be where no one wants to be. Hell. There's those two choices. That's it. There's nothing in between. Acts 19:13-6. 13 to 16. Now some of the ignorant Jews, exorcists, who also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded. These men didn't have faith in Jesus. It wasn't authentic. If it had been, the men would have been able to drive out the evil spirit. They were trying to make a name for themselves. See, Paul was using the authority that was given to him by faith in Jesus. And when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we receive his authority. So receive Christ into your heart and then put your faith into action. Let the world see that you have Christ in your heart. Let the love of Jesus pour out because you have received. And this is a daily choice. So as Easter approaches, take time to seek the Lord. Search your heart. Are you trying to earn your salvation? Or are you just going to God and receiving? Receiving from Him. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we can't earn salvation. And we just have to receive it on faith from you. Help us to do that each day. Help us to remember so we come to you and receive. Help us to put our faith into actions so that others see you. They can see that we received something different and we're not trying to earn it. I pray that many who don't know you will receive you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Should you spend your life?
Will you stand for a parting blessing? May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.